Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, guys? This is Terry. After Ty left, I started editing the podcast and realized that we had some recording issues. There was like some weird choppiness. We've dealt with this before. Don't really know exactly what causes it or the workaround to try to fix it. I did my best to try to clean up the weird spots where really important words were left out by our recording device. But it's a kind of an issue from like the 6 minute mark to the 10 or 12 minute mark. And then it goes away and then comes back right before the end. So, hopefully you can bear with us and piece together what we were trying to say. And next time we'll try to make it better.
Welcome back to the IL Preps podcast. I am Terry Foy, joined by Ty Zanders. And Ty, it's been a couple weeks since we caught up. And in the meantime, we've wound down a little bit, so to speak. We're not sitting on 100 degree sidelines is the best way of putting it.
The days are different, you know, and instead of sitting in front of a, on a turf field in front of a club game, I think it's just in front of a computer working these rankings and trying to get them cranked out. We'll talk about that a little bit. But definitely a different day. I'm very happy to be in air conditioning as opposed to 95 degrees in humidity. So very, very content.
That said, you're about to go back to a different kind of 95 degrees in humidity.
Much better. Yeah, going to Mexico this week, a little vacation. Much needed. And very, very happy with that.
The listeners of the We've Got New Rules podcast heard me say that I was at the beach. I was actually sitting in traffic on Route 50 when the new rules were announced, which is not an ideal place to be. But we would not be doing our duty if we didn't talk about what we've heard in terms of coach reaction to how these prospective new rules will impact recruiting, because that's what we do on the IL Preps podcast.
Yeah, I think the guys I talked to didn't feel like a ton would change, although a few kind of talked about how they'll look for a few things. The more complete attackman, the two-way middies, defenseman who can handle the ball well upfield and clear. And one assistant coach said, I want a goalie who can catch the ball, you know, who holds onto it so that we're not giving up these rebounds where they could reach to the shot clock, you know, for 60 seconds. That's a pretty big deal to have the ball bounce out of a stick and have a reset. So I like that point, and I think a few just kind of said you had to be very careful about taking a kid with a suspect stick on defense. You want a kid who can clear it up field and trigger transition.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I guess I have two overarching statements. Number one, you know, as I typically am, I'm going to say, let's slow play this a little bit. A lot of guys are going to say something, but they still haven't like actually played with these rules.
We don't know.
Exactly. We don't know. But then secondly, like everything you just described is like, I just want good players. You know what I mean? Like
And what you want anyway.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, so like, want a complete attackman, a two-way right. midi, a pole who can handle, and a goalie doesn't give up rebounds? Like, that's what you want anyway.
Right. So that's kind of where, you know, some of this falls a little bit on deaf ears. But the last comment you made does resonate with me. I don't think, like, I don't want to pick on one player, but because he was like a Schmeisser Award winner and, you know, an all-time MLL great, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But like Michael Evans would get subbed off on pretty much every Johns Hopkins clear. He was well known as an unbelievable match feet athlete who struggled to throw and catch.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether or not clearing teams are going to feel as comfortable doing that with a 20-second clock as they have over the last 10 or 15 years. Besides that, I still, you know, I'm very much in a wait and see mode. We talked about we're going through the draft of our face-off yearbook rankings, and everybody's friend Lax Filmroom made a good comment relative to Maryland's ranking. And he's like, Jared Bernhardt's ability to restart off the end line with less than 10 seconds left is going to be a total game changer. And the type of weapon that very few other teams in college lacrosse have rank Maryland accordingly. And I think, you know, a lot of teams are going to put extra emphasis on a guy's ability to end line restart and get to the goal and get a decent shot in 7 seconds. But again, that guy is already going to be a top 20 player just because that's a really rare skill set and a really important skill set.
Yeah. And Shaq Stampik was so good at that as well. You know, I think like, again, the guys I've talked to are kind of feeling the same way that we feel, where like we don't know. Like so much is so much talk is about these two-way guys, but I think that a lot of these teams will probably try and sub off their guys anyway and make like very similar substitutions. So like we have to be in the wait and see approach, because you just don't know yet until we're actually out there watching games in the fall. It's definitely a TBD impact.
Well, Ty, August is the dead period. That being said, we've got some news to report, so we'll get into that in a second. But first, we have a new sponsor, Simple Contacts. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century. You don't wear glasses. You wear glasses. You don't wear contacts, do you?
Not yet. Not yet. I may have to now.
Have you ever, this is a weird question, but any contacts wear will understand it, touched your eyeball? Like, are you cool with that? You think that that's, is that like gross you out?
I have not done so yet.
Okay.
No.
So I've been wearing contacts since I was in like sixth grade, and I remember contact lens wear does. I just absolutely abuse my eyes. But I went through the Simple Contacts process. My prescription renewed in like March or so. And I'll tell you what, if the goal is the process of ordering contacts through them, probably like 3 weeks ago, I don't even remember the process. It was so simple. It was like a 2 or 3 step process. You visit simplecontacts.com and you kind of click through their steps, and then you forget about it. And like 2 or 3 days later, a box shows up with brand new contacts. And Simple Contacts doesn't write a completely new prescription, so you still have to do that, but they're a good place to renew your visiting simplecontacts.com/lacrosse, and the promo is lacrosse. But it's not just that, Ty. You also get $20 off your first order by code lacrosse at checkout. Give it a try and thank me later. Like I mentioned, we've got news. A couple of things have developed over the course of the last several weeks, primarily defensemen switching their commitments. Most recently, Mr. Fasoli.
Yeah. I mean, Fasoli, to me, is a kid that we've been hearing about for a long time. I had him ranked, I think, 2 in the class, 3 in the class. No, he's a 4-year contributor for St. Sebastian's in Massachusetts. His brother's at Harvard right now. He went to Yale, checked it out, and went to Duke. He was already kind of sniffing around Duke, or was sniffing around Duke before he committed to Harvard. So I figured that the Blue Devils would be in the mix. They added him, and it may have already been the number one class looking ahead a year, but it may have also solidified things. Great down low. He's not the biggest, but just one of the best motors you'll possibly find. Plays his tail off, and it's fun to watch. Very athletic, great stick, pushes it. I'm a big fan.
Around the middle of the month, we had a pair of 2019s make their choice. Jake Giulieri, who had originally been committed to Notre Dame from Georgetown Prep, switched to Virginia.
I was shocked there. I think that, to me, I think that it provides somewhat of an identity for this UVA class that does have the number one player, Connor Schellenberger, arguably the top faceoff guy, some really good talent around them. They can get one of the best defensemen in the country alongside Scott Bauer and Quentin Matsui, two of the better defensemen you'll possibly find. We watched a lot of them this summer. But UVA badly needs defensive help. So to get three guys on the other side of things, Georgetown Prep is somewhat of a pipeline for Notre Dame. And by losing Giulieri's commitment, they really don't have a true close defenseman in this class. I think Shallet, Max Jonathan Ford from California, who's going to be PG at Deerfield, are much more so true LSMs. You know, Ford, true LSM for sure. Shallet bumps back and forth, but with the way he plays, more of a pull. So I think that just like they always do, like they'll be looking for a guy on the circuit, you know, and try and poach someone. So, you know, we'll see, but it was big for UVA, tough for Notre Dame, but they'll be okay. They have some targets right now.
And then at the end of last month, we had a switch from Colgate to Penn State as Jack Posey from Freedom High School in Pennsylvania. With all the tumult at Colgate, I would imagine that played into that decision. What do you know about him as a player?
I haven't seen him a ton, but to me, I think he's a player that got his looks at Under Armour, was on the team, I think, last, actually one of the kids that was in the mix at UVA.
The last bit of news that we're going to get to, dating back to the end of July, Miles Bowman, originally a Navy can head to Michigan.
Yeah, Bowman has been all over the place. I think he's originally from Florida, was at McClay School in Tallahassee, and then spent time will be going to Salisbury. Another big kid he can cover. I think that, you know, I've loved over the past couple of years. He's super athletic, you know, great reach.
About 10 days away from September 1st, the first 2020. What are you hearing?
Yeah, it's been fun. It'll be a long-winded answer here, but been a lot of fun for me just to talk to coaches and kind of get a sense of, you know, who they coveted the most this summer, who they love watching, and who they'll be targeting. You know, heard from a few guys kind of what particular player that they'll be calling at midnight, and that gave me a good sense of kind of, you know, what they prioritize, who they prioritize. But there's no doubt that it's not just going to be on committed kids. You know, we'll get some of the best players in the country that will be getting calls, and coaches will be trying to get them on campus. So I expect really, I'd say about half the top 20, which you all will see in a few weeks, I think half the top 20 will end up switching. I think one of the top few attackmen will switch. There's some good middies in there. I think we'll stay put. One's looking at football, but I think he could maybe flip and play both sports. But I expect a lot of movement. I think that if you look at UVA, Duke, Notre Dame, the only school that has a 2020, and that's a 19 who's PGing, they are three of the most feared schools out there when it comes to flipping kids. And with them having mostly a clean slate, they'll be hunting, you know, and I expect a lot of those guys to fill those classes with some really strong offensive players, and there's a lot of that in this class.
Yeah, I'm interested, and I think that I've made this argument on this podcast before, and I talk about it pretty much every time I talk about recruiting, but in the advent of the new rules, 2017 was going to stand alone as a weird year. 2018 was going to stand alone as a weird year. 2019 is going to be the first year where that class of 21 is almost a completely blank slate, and you see what comes to fruition, and then kind of apply that going forward. That being said, the weirdness of this year is going to be informative, and the thing that's going to fascinate me the most is for programs that are traditionally ranked between, say, 25 and 50, they probably have a recruiting list, a target list of 25 to 50 players. I'm curious as to how many of those guys they're going to land and how long the process is going to run into next spring and into next summer. How many spots are going to be available at this time next year in their 2020 class, and how they use that to inform what it is they decide they want to do for the class of 21. The reason being, you know, the idea that there's less available time to poach is still not totally true when the majority of poaching happens in the last 2 months before NLIs are signed anyway. So I think it's really, I think the point I'm making is I'm not sure that, you know, those frequently poached programs are going to want to land those commitments. They're still going to want to gauge who's interested in them and then kind of work through the process. That's my personal expectation, but I, again, don't know, you know, how the rubber's going to meet the road.
And I don't disagree, you know, that much. I think that in some cases, you really don't want to poach too early. I mean, I don't think there are like a ton of commitments flips that happen like in that fall of junior year. You know, I think that as kids get older, they kind of realize more and more what's important to them. I think that, you know, some kind of realize they don't want that big school like a Big Ten with full football stadiums. They may want that smaller Ivy, better academics, you know, that 40-year decision, to use a cliche there. So I think, you know, I've talked to some guys right now that don't really feel like they will go after the top kids that are committed. They'll wait a few months. But just like you said, like, I am most curious to see how many spots at high-profile schools are available this time next year.
So it's not as if – okay, so last September 1st, I remember, you know, it was a Thursday into a Friday, and I was going to be traveling that weekend. I woke up at a normal time and just started texting a bunch of coaches. What'd you do last night? How'd it go? Like, what was the response? And it was really all across the board. And I posted an article that kind of illustrated that. This year, because of the interest around that as a news event, you know, we decided to take a little bit more of an active role in the conversation. And so we are hosting an inaugural event called Midnight Mania. It's for 88. It's open to all 88 members of the class of 2020. Registration opened up, and the event is full. We have zero spots remaining. And when you look at the quality of the caliber of player that's coming, it's pretty impressive. And we're really excited about it. So at 12:01 on September 1st at the University of Delaware's Tubby Raymond Field, we'll get these 88 guys together, split them up into four teams, run through a couple different clinics and practices as we warm up, and then play a couple games. Each team will play two games, and then we're going to hit the road, and that's going to be it. College coaches will be coaching the event. There are rules around the communication that can occur at an event. This is as much about the opportunity to, I guess, kind of be in the same space and time when this contact period opens up, more than it's about like an actual recruiting element in that kind of venue, which is, you know, against the rules. I gotta say, Ty, I mean, you know, this is something that we kind of slowly conceived of after you came back to Inside Lacrosse in the spring. You know, we talked about it in, I don't know, probably what, mid-April, and then, you know, really started to progress the conversations through May and June. And it's only really been in the last two to three weeks that it's come together in this type of meaningful way. And to see the caliber of player who's going to be putting his talent on display is really, it's exciting, it's invigorating, and it's really validating for what we thought was going to be a novel concept, but really risky. I'm really fired up by the folks that have chosen to be involved.
Yeah, and I couldn't be more pumped to be involved. And I think that,
well, particularly because you stay up until 4 a.m. every day anyway.
Exactly. Night owl, Red Bull will be flowing. I know for me, I think that, you know, this from being in the same meeting as me, the first few weeks when I came back to Isle in April, like, I didn't love the idea. I was like skeptical of how it would do. Maybe part of it was that I didn't want to work that weekend, you know, and be home and, all of that. But I think that, like, I wasn't sure what the response would be like. And I am blown away. I think that we have a lot of the best players in the country, you know, which I think every event says. But, I mean, I turned in my rankings to you and the editors today, and we have, you know, about two dozen kids in this event that are in my top 100. So it's exciting. I think just to have that level of talent there and to have the level of college coaches that we will be releasing pretty soon. And, a great venue that's pretty centrally located. It'll be fun. I think that I know I'm looking forward and coaches are looking forward to kind of seeing how just being able to interact with college coaches, kids they will have on their lists. It'll be fun. You know, I can't wait. It's a short and sweet event. I know it's simple and we can build off of it. I'm really pumped.
And we, you know, wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't shout out our friends at Adidas, who are actually going to provide these kids with a really impressive package. So every attendee gets gloves, arm pads, and a full stick. That exceeds the value of the retail value of that package exceeds the cost of attendance for this event.
Oh, yeah.
So, right there, I think it's going to be a pretty cool opportunity. And that's before you get to the quality of film that all these players are going to be able to take away, given who they're going to be matched up against.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think there really aren't that many events that are this small where you can kind of have like a level of competition that will be some of the best, you know, you can find on the circuit. So it'll be good. I know that there are a lot of attackmen I'm looking forward to, you know, watching once again. I think that, like, it's not like we're going to be watching these kids and getting a ton out of it in the sense that, oh my God, this kid got better, because
we just watched
him like a month and a half ago, yeah. You know? And I don't really get the same feeling in November either, but it'll just be enjoyable to be able to really measure them against the best,
and interact with them ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of get to know them and know that I know that I'll be spending a lot of time in the fall trying to build relationships with these guys, get a good sense of like the kind of school they want, they plan on visiting, and what their priorities are. I really can't wait.
You mentioned that you turned in, basically everything's done. You know, we're about a week out from Transmitted, the October issue of the magazine. Still haven't seen an updated draft of the cover. But besides that, all the lists, all the rankings are done. It's just a function of putting the text together. So first of all, kudos to you, Dan Abern, Jeff Shannon, Matt Kinnear, Hallie Quillenin, her staff. I know Amari Pollard was a big part of that. And Beth Ann Meyer as well. Just a yeoman's effort to put this together and really in a lot of ways beat a couple deadlines. We're ranking three classes, the obviously rising freshmen, rising seniors, and rising juniors. If we decide to do rising sophomores, we'll do that in the late fall, early winter. That won't be a part of this issue of the magazine. Some years it has been, some years it hasn't been. We'll be ranking the incoming classes in terms of like the group of players for the rising freshmen as well. And like I said, they're all done. So as you reflect on the process, Ty, what was it like? First time being involved in the magazine for a couple of years.
Yeah, no, I missed it. I think that when I left IL, I knew what I would miss the most would be kind of working on this recruiting issue. And it was always my baby. I think it was always like the type of thing that it was nice to just have like a group effort put together an issue that pretty much everyone on lacrosse wanted to read. You know, like recruiting is so rare, is so unique because it involves everybody. You know, the young players, the college players, club coaches, college coaches, alums of the name schools. Like everyone wants to read about recruiting, so that's kind of why you like put in that time to, you know, put together the ranking. So like I'm very happy. Surprisingly not very sleep deprived like I expected to be, just kind of working towards a vacation. But we're thrilled. I think that the 2020 class is actually a class that I feel like I've been watching forever, and I have or so years watching the 20s, and about 100-120 have committed. And, you know, we have a ton of uncommitted kids in this class. So going back to my earlier point, it'll be pretty cool to just be able to follow those kids that are uncommitted and see where they end up. Because usually in the past, you've had these rising juniors that have pretty much all been committed. So that's unique. In the 19s, I know it was a class that trying to figure it out a little bit, you know, very, very deep at defense. Some good face-off guys, some good attackmen. You know, maybe I wasn't sure of, like, who the top guy was, and you know, same in other positions. So it was tough, and I know that I rely a whole lot on, you know, my list of contacts, and I call about 20 college coaches, and we collectively talk to probably another 15 or 20 as well. I try not to use many club guys because, like, no offense to them, like they're supposed to sell their guys, you know, and I like their opinions, but I want to be as objective as possible, not be swayed, you know, too much by any one guy. But I know what I do is I spend the entire summer going to events, build a list in late July, and then spend the first 2 weeks of August kind of bouncing names off of college coaches, send them the spreadsheets, you know, text them back and forth, updates, and get a list. You know, it's not just my opinion. It's just a collection of a lot of opinions in the sport. So with that said, I cannot wait to, you know, unleash this issue, this content, and that'll be in the first few weeks of September, probably, 7 to 10 days after the first. But, yeah, we're fired up, and it's been fun to be back in the fold and working this issue.
And the last thing I want to mention is that release will be accompanied by increased features on the recruiting database. We've been talking about it. We basically are adding the top 100 rankings to each player's page, each player that is ranked, and then obviously also that ranking will have a page. It'll probably be the front page of the recruiting database. And then in addition to that, we are implementing the star system that will be the tool that's used to create incoming class valuations for the class and group in total. So we're really excited about those advancements. We're actually kind of testing it with the class of 2017 right now. Seems as if we'll be seeing that on insidelacrosse.com/recruiting. So, you know, if you've been, you've heard us talk about where we've been and the knowledge we've tried to gather. You've heard us talk about the process of trying to distill that knowledge into pieces of content. And then now we're in the final stages of turning that content into something to be presented to you, our, you know, kind of reader, listener, and Inside Lacrosse fan and supporter. Whether that be in the print magazine or, you know, on our .com, you know, obviously that's inclusive of everything that we try to do in this space. So if you like what you heard, as always, leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, or Twitter is also a good spot, at Ty Zanders, at Terrence Foy. Instagram, not a very good spot. I'm not going to lie about that. What else you got to add?
That's all I got. You know, I'm looking forward to kind of hitting the reset button for a little bit in Mexico and then come back and have a
but great one. So we appreciate everybody for listening, and we'll catch you probably not next week, because maybe we'll start teasing some of the rankings.
Let's do it.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.